broadcasting live from the beautiful Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa in Young Harris, Georgia, 2016 Business Writers Conference. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton. Stone, how you doing?
Well, I just can't believe the crowd that has gathered to witness this interview. If you can hear them in the background.
There was no one here. Maureen shows up. Bam, there's 50 people here.
Dr. Mo is in the house. Please join me in welcoming to this segment the Grand Poobah with Workplace Learning and Performance Group, Dr. Maureen Ori. How are you?
Fantastic. How are you, Stone?
I'm doing well. So what's it been like today? Have you learned something?
I have. It's been fantastic. I have been able to hear a number of different perspectives on business writing, whether it be having an editor or having a great book cover, self-publishing. It's been some fantastic content.
So now, have you written a book? Are you looking to write a book? What's your background?
Yes.
Both? You've written a book and you want to write another book?
I actually do want to write another. I've written four.
Four books?
Oh, yes. My. Over the course of the last 20-something years. I was 5 years old when I wrote my first book.
Wow, congratulations.
Yes. So I've written four, and all of them have been very niche-focused into HR and corporate training, and I'm wanting to really elevate my business, bring it to the next level.
So romance. You're going romance?
Yeah, sex and romance. Right. Absolutely. I heard it sells.
It's a niche.
I've heard 50 Shades of something.
Of workplace learning.
Workplace learning. There you go. Let's see if it'll be a
hot We knocked
seller.
Out the title. That's good work.
We're done. Fantastic. I did my part.
Check that box.
So how does the sales and marketing thing go for a practice like yours? Is this a solo practice? Is it a team? Or
It's a solo practice primarily. I have a team of folks that I hire as subcontractors.
Right. So the sales and marketing, I mean, are they knocking on your door? Are you out shaking the bushes a little bit? You need things like a book and some thought leadership to keep that going, right?
Absolutely. Actually, one of the stories I like to share is that I launched my business in January of 2009 when the economy was
right at the peak.
Yeah, good timing. Yes. Nicely done.
A lot of foresight and vision with that. Actually, it had been a very strategic move because I'm the single mother of three children, and it was a passion of mine to start my own business.
Right.
And yet I had not really paid attention to the economic indicators around the world. I don't know.
You're not an economist, for God's sake.
I'm not. No, thank you. Thank you. I had a vision. And I don't. Anyway, I launched my vision. And I have a fantastic network of folks because of my association membership and network and so forth. So I launched my business with fantastic contracts in place and projects in place.
Nice.
And that was January of 2009. By June of 2009,
yes, just a few months later,
just a very short few months later, it's all kind of disappearing before my eyes. Because often corporations, you know, cut training when the economy goes south. And by June, I'm thinking, I wonder what Wells Fargo will want. It. how quickly will they want that mortgage payment anyway? And so actually, I had this wake-up call. This is answering your question. So I had a wake-up call when I realized if my contracts are disappearing, how do I sell? I had actually purposefully avoided putting myself in a sales and marketing position my entire career because I hate selling.
You just like doing the work.
I love doing that. I love the work I do. And I woke up one day thinking, wow, who's going to sell this business?
My salesperson has got a lot of work to do.
My salesperson has to learn how to sell, has to learn how to market. And it was actually a huge learning curve. I had to kind of own the fact that this is
kind of on you now, right?
It kind of was. I had signed myself up for the ultimate sales position.
The sales training.
The sales training
portion of your job.
Exactly, exactly. So I actually did start taking some courses and chatting with other colleagues.
Right.
How do you do this? How do you sell your business?
Now that I'm in business, I think at some point it's a good time to learn how to sell my business.
I might want to figure out how do I do this? How do you sell?
So you must have figured it out because you're still here.
I am. Thank God. Yes. And actually business is going very well. But I guess especially when you are the business, how do you sell the business when you are the business and you don't like selling?
It sounds like a good book.
It does sound like a good
There's
book.
Another book.
Yes. Add that one to the list.
So I want to hear more about the work itself.
Okay.
Sectors that you serve, the industries. I don't know if you have a sweet spot, and the disciplines that you're coaching and mentoring and training to.
Absolutely. The most of my revenue comes from leadership development. So I work with companies like Boeing, Microsoft, and I facilitate leadership development for my clients around the country. So that's probably, if you look at my my spreadsheet, leadership development, corporate training is
so these are leaders that want to get better, or people that are aspiring leaders that want to become leaders?
Both. Primarily leaders who want to get better, mm-hmm. But there are aspiring leaders. Kind of my tagline in the leadership development space is that I help new managers become good managers, and good managers become great leaders.
Look at that. That's man, very
that
good.
Just rolls right off the tongue. So do you ever get the call from like a senior level exec and they say, Dr. Mo, can you fix Bob? I need you to come out for a week and just, can you fix Bob?
Yeah, we do. We actually, we do get that call sometimes. And oftentimes, I don't know if Bob can be fixed, right?
All right.
Or I think the challenge ends up being, well, we can't fix Bob, but let's, you know, train his team on stress management.
Right.
Or working in a hostile work environment.
Or what if you get there and you say, you know, I've been talking to Bob and he's not the problem. You are. The
right. Exactly. Has that ever happened?
No. That's happened?
Well, it does, but the question becomes, how do you have that conversation?
Right.
Right? If the senior exec thinks they're fantastic and Bob is the problem, and it's so it becomes more of a coaching conversation instead of a training program.
Right.
You can't throw a training class to fix that particular scenario.
Sorry,
go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask about the training itself. Is it you providing content and sharing it kind of in a classroom environment, or is there a peer-to-peer aspect to it?
It's primarily in the leadership space that I do. It's primarily in the classroom environment.
Uh-huh.
So with some of my clients, they have a great, you know, training center, facility, and sometimes you go in, it's a 5-day intensive program.
Wow.
So it
sounds like work.
It is. I'm really tired at the end of the week. Although it's fantastic because a lot of it is peer to peer. You have, you know, peer coaching that you're doing together.
So one on one.
Yeah. Well, we have the participants work with each other and coach.
Okay,
each other.
There is a strong peer to peer dynamic.
There is.
In a lot
there
of
is.
The work.
Do you find that works pretty well? The peer to peer.
Most of the time, when you're working in a large group setting. And then you give them an assignment, tell them to break out
right.
and go do this. I'd say 75-80% of them actually do the activity and take it to heart. Some of them take that as an opportunity to
get on their phone and play Pokemon
yeah,
Go.
Exactly. Gotta catch them all.
Right.
Absolutely.
All right. So this most recent book or the next book that's coming out, where's the focus now?
I have two things I'm working on. And... let me add one more content because you had asked about my areas of expertise.
Yeah,
so
yes.
Leadership is one. The other areas I focus on are diversity and career development primarily.
Okay.
And career development, the focus I take is on building resilience and helping people with career resilience. So that being...
So you have some scar tissue in that area, right?
Perhaps. there's no wine here, so I can't...
we'll have to know later when we are at the vineyard.
That's at the vineyard conversation, right? So the two books I'm working on, one is actually based on my dissertation that I recently finished, and the other is based on a passion that I've been working on for a few years. It got put on the back burner during the dissertation. So and this conference has given me the chance to really think about which one's going to rise to the top. So one of the book ideas, it's called Stay Afloat, and it's the 6 keys to building career buoyancy.
I like it. Wow.
A boater?
No, but it's actually, I owned a boat.
Once.
Do they say the best day of a boat owner's life?
It's what?
The day you buy it, and then the day you sell it.
Right. Yeah, the strategy there, I grew up on the Gulf Coast, is what you want is a friend with a boat.
Yes, I'll pay for gas money.
Right, absolutely.
Right. Like yes. A timeshare.
Exactly. It's actually, I take the concept of how a duck gets its waterproofing, because ducks aren't hatched waterproof. So I take how a duck gets its waterproofing and then builds it up scientifically. There's a whole process of what ducks do and how they get their waterproofing, how ducks stay afloat. And I use this concept of the duck and how folks, and then how we can learn to be more resilient. Mm-hmm. So here's my visual.
So you actually have a duck.
I actually have
you came
a duck
with a duck with
a little floaty on it to remind you to stay afloat.
Wow. Yes. So you have to have that made, or
hashtag,
there was actually somebody who
you
made
keep
that.
Talking. I'm going to get the camera and get a picture of this.
That's right. That's right. You need to have the duck. No, actually, I'm going to have some made, some custom ones. This one was bought at World Market for $2.99. But it's hashtag stay afloat. So
that's your dissertation was on ducks and fowl?
No, the dissertation actually was focused on the other book idea, and that is the concept of volunteer leadership as a tool for career development.
Uh-huh.
And
what does volunteer leadership mean?
It means being a volunteer member of a board of directors.
Oh, so like volunteering.
Like volunteering as
not like being voluntold.
Correct. That's different.
That's different.
Some volunteer leaders are voluntold.
Right.
But in general, it's serving on a board of directors or being in a leadership, an unpaid leadership role.
Right.
And so I actually worked with Jack and Patty Phillips. So Patty was on my committee, my dissertation committee. So I completed an ROI study on the ROI and career benefits of volunteer leadership.
So was there a good ROI on that?
Huge ROI.
Really? Were you surprised?
No. 246% ROI for the time and money is
wow.
invested as a volunteer leader.
And then, so some people don't want to do it because they think it's extra work or it's a hassle, but
right.
it's something that's going to pay dividends.
Huge dividends.
And then it's probably one of those things where you do it once and you're always a board member, so you can use that credential
yes.
lots and lots of times throughout your career, right?
Right. Past president of whatever association
right.
or organization. And not only do you have the title, but you also have a network of peers that know you and you've worked side by side
so
with.
So how do you figure out the ROI of that network of peers?
That's
how'd you pull that off?
That's great. I worked had Patty.
Yeah, it was Patty's problem.
No, actually, she coached me through that because really what I did, it was qualitative and quantitative. We did a qualitative survey and asked people what did they gain from it. And I was a former volunteer leader myself, which
right.
is where I got this idea because I've had huge benefit payoff for me personally. But I asked them about their network. Did they get promotional opportunities? Did they get a new book, a new speaking gig? Did they get a new job? Did they start a business? And then we asked them to, and we had them look back in the last 12 months. How would you quantify?
Yeah.
How would you quantify the new opportunities you gained specifically through your board position,
right.
for example? And then we had to, you know, correct for any other possible contributions, like, oh, I don't know, I have a doctorate in this, or I have experience
right.
in that.
Or, that might have helped.
It might. And so we asked them to, here's this, let's say the $100,000, for example. And there are some people who said, I can specifically say, actually one person said it was
you got to get into the mic. There you go.
It was $138,000.
So they knew to the dollar amount.
Yeah, she had actually done, she knew the questions I was going to ask, and she said, I've done the math, it's $138,000 that I can attribute to my connections through my role as
right.
a volunteer leader. And then I said, okay, well, what percentage of that would you say is volunteer leadership? And so she gave me a percentage, 90% is what she said. And then I said, what's the other 10%? Well, it's my...
The cookies,
the wine I serve.
Right.
The ducks I give people for free. And then we ask them, how much do they invest? How much did it cost them? How much time?
Right.
How much extra money, gas money, meetings, whatever. And then we actually did an ROI calculation to say, here's the benefit, here's what the cost was, and what was your ROI?
Right. Now, do you find when you're doing that kind of research that they forget, like they go, oh, I got that job because I knew Bill. And then they forget kind of, well, it was because you were the president of the thing. That's how you know Bill.
Yes.
Like, but they kind
they
of,
do.
They take, it's because I'm charming and awesome person.
Yes.
That's why that happened.
Exactly. In fact,
does that occur?
Yeah. Well, one individual, as we were talking, he says, well, I can attribute my entire salary to the ROI because I got this job because I knew Bill. And I said, okay, great. Well, when it came to him giving me a number, He gave me like $5,000. He went a whole different direction. Like, that's all you make?
You just said that it was all because of this thing. Well, you know, it was me.
That's right. Yeah, it's all me, right? And it was funny because I asked him, went around a number of different ways to say, okay, you would. About 3 minutes ago, you said right, you could attribute all of it.
So all and 5% are the same to you. Right, is that exactly. What you're saying?
So it was challenging. Maybe it was he didn't want to give me a number. I don't know. And then I had one other individual who said, no, there was no benefit whatsoever. Well, this individual is sitting on the National Board of Directors for this organization. And I'm thinking, tell me that rubbing elbows with executives from Microsoft and Google
right.
and Twitter
is zero.
Is zero benefit. But he was
adamant.
He was.
So that screwed up your whole calculation, right?
It lowered it.
Right.
It did.
Probably dramatically because he's not being honest.
Right. Well, and actually the database was 43 individuals. And so he was one of 43.
Right.
Didn't lower it dramatically, but I took him out and did some calculations to see what it was without that individual. And of course, it was
right.
higher.
Sure.
It's very interesting, though.
So it sounds to me like you've got a lot of this figured out, but you've chosen to take the time and make the financial investment to be here and be part of this. So you obviously saw the ROI in this. Can you just speak a little bit to the value that you think you're getting?
What percent?
Yeah.
That's a good question. Because I actually turned down two different clients in order
to
be
here. So this is costing you cash money.
Wow. So not only is it costing me, it's costing me.
Right? There's opportunity cost.
Double dipping into those costs here.
How's that for an endorsement? Turn down two opportunities like that to be here.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Same
exactly.
One.
Yeah. And this is my personal approach. This is a huge year of transition for me in my life. I've finished my doctorate. My youngest graduated from high school. My oldest graduated from college. And both my parents passed away in the last 6 to 7 months. So,
that is a year.
That is the year.
You're right? Definitely qualified to write and speak on resilience.
On resilience. You gotta stay afloat.
And buoyancy. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Man.
And so I see... With all of that transition and me looking at who am I, what do I want to be when I grow up, type of thing, and where do I want to take my business? And writing and speaking and elevating it kind of to the next level is really where I want to go. And this actually was perfect timing because networking with publishers, networking with other authors, networking with agents and authors and speakers that have taken their business farther is in such an intimate environment. That's huge.
Right.
To really get the opportunity.
This is a multiplier.
It really is. It really is.
And this is, and you're someone who has 4 books already under your belt.
Right.
And you thought it was worth the time.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, she's not just like a wide-eyed,
right,
like
first time
author. You know, I think I want to have written a book.
Right.
Which you've already suffered through right. 4 books.
I have. In fact, one of the speakers said, Maureen, why are you coming to my workshop? Because you don't need to be here. And I said, no, I do. I need to own being an author. Because oddly enough, I've written 4 books. But at the same time, I never considered myself an author. I never had a dream of, oh, I want to be a writer when I grow up. I just happened to have an idea I wanted to share. So
4 times.
So she's had 4 ideas. She's had 4 ideas.
Right.
I'm a
really, to be an author, you have to have 5. It's common knowledge. It takes 5 books
exactly.
to be an author.
See, I'm glad you understand.
Yeah.
I'm glad
I'm
you
with
understand.
You.
But I don't know. Maybe I'm a little slow. But it's really, for me, part of this transition of saying, okay, I own it. This is what I want to be. This is what I want to do. I do have a message, especially about resilience, is people really need to. It's not automatic. Even a duck can drown, right? They're not hatched waterproof.
Right.
And we're not built resilient. And so we need to be purposeful in our careers and in our life and as a leader. And so I'm trying to integrate this resilience concept into everything that I do. And yet, listening to the other speakers, I'm getting inspired and getting ideas. I'm like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Let me write that down. Here, I should approach it from this perspective. So I'm really just gathering data to take it to the next level.
So one of the things that I found inspiring about this morning, I had a chance to listen to Ann McIndoe, and it really had never occurred to me the next steps of doing like the workbook and the coaching and all that. So just, I mean, I wasn't in there 15 minutes because we needed to get back out here to do something. But it, I mean, that 15 minutes was incredibly well invested. So you talk about ROI. And so you're obviously getting that from a variety of sessions. Has there been one particular bright spot that really...
It's Patty Phillips.
Resonates with it. Is it Patty Phillips?
She is the secret sauce that makes this whole thing work.
She is.
Without her, the whole orchestra falls apart, baby. It,
absolutely. Absolutely. Level three. Behavior is changing as we speak, Patty. And we're going to have an impact on that real soon. We're going to have an impact on that very soon. Yes, we are.
No, has there been one or two things that have really stuck out for you that you're like, man, I am glad that I listened to that, and I'm going to really put some extra thought into that?
Gosh, there's been I have a notebook full of ideas. And, although I think it was my lunch conversation with Stephen from Amicon, where I was able to sit next to him. He's a senior editor for Amicon, and we talked for 15, 20 minutes about my book idea on volunteer leadership, and it was fantastic just to be able to say
that one-on-one, pick the brain of person that's doing it.
Because here I thought I had this fantastic idea, and here's how I want to pitch it. And he's like, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And I'm like, oh.
Wow.
No. Okay. And so that was one huge, just the, you know, the conversations and the network. And I think the other, I think Anne's ideas of how all of the various ways you can really.
Yeah, that really opened my eyes. Well, I'll tell you the two bright spots for me. Mm-hmm. Shrimp and grits.
Yes. Those
and,
were good.
A few minutes with Dr. Mo. This has been a lot of fun and very informative. It's got to be incredibly rewarding work. And this idea of resilience, I'm looking forward to seeing more working on that front.
Awesome. Thank you. It is. In fact, I had one former student. She listened to my content on resilience. And I hate to say this, but it really struck a chord with her. I hate to say it because she quit her job. Uh-huh. And she said, I really realized that I need to take ownership. I need to do, I'm not resilient. I'm in a horrible.
So now she lives in your basement?
She washes the dishes. Right? No, actually, she's probably, she's in her 60s.
What a gutsy move.
Yeah, and it was hugely gutsy. Yeah. And I've stayed in touch with her. And she's going to be one of the case studies or the stories in the book. Because she said it took her 3 months to wake up without a headache.
Wow.
That's how stressful her work environment was. And she thanks me every day. She says, I've since retired. I've looked at life and I'm happy. Oh, and so it's pretty cool to see
the impact.
The impact that you can have.
So now if somebody wanted to learn more, are there coordinates for you, website, best way to kind of follow you?
There are ones under reconstruction, which is maureenorey.com. But I have stayafloat.net, which is my
stayafloat.net,
which is my resilience.
Nice job with
stuff.
That
stuff. Yeah, and I wanted stayafloat.com, but that would have cost me $2,000. I wasn't quite ready to ante up $2,000 for a URL, but perhaps. And then my corporate training is the Workplace Learning and Performance Group, which is WLPGroup.com.
Well, thank you so much for coming and hanging with us. This has been great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's been fun. You guys are a lot of fun.
All right. We'll be back in a few from the Business Writers Conference 2016.